Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Patriot Education. I believe I'm live, but Blog Talk Radio's clock and my voice in my ear saying it's live don't seem to be on the same page. Anyway, welcome to Patriot Education. My name is Terry Rowland. I am your hostess for this evening, and as always, we are brought to you through the good offices of www.patriotfamilies.com. I'm sorry you're not getting the intro music tonight, ladies and gentlemen. The studio seems to think it's about 10 minutes before 6, and my computer and the telephone tell me it's showtime, so we're going straight ahead. Tonight's topic, ladies and gentlemen, is Common Core. Even the teachers' unions are rejecting it. I saw a blurb on Facebook today that the Chicago teachers' unions, and Lord knows Chicago is the ultimate cradle of progressivism, are protesting Common Core. Because under Common Core, their chief negotiating tool, that of being indispensable to the mental health of your children, goes out the window. Common Core, in all its glory, will make them nothing more than facilitators, meaning they will be the ones who recite the gospel according to CC and guide the students through the programmed information that they are supposed to receive according to the state's determination of their place in the collective. For the last 20 years or so, teachers have been told by government in the person of funding and curriculum changes and federal mandates for various types of educational assistance that they are supposed to be all things to all children. They are surrogate parents, they are babysitters, they are counselors, they are spiritual advisors, they are nannies, they are everything but educators. And they are being told by their unions that everybody who has problems with our declining standards is just evil-minded and fundamentalist right-wing radicals who want to punish poor, innocent teachers because they love our children and are trying to do their best for them. Well, once Common Core in all its glory gets set up properly and children are monitored with a small bracelet that determines whether or not they're paying attention and, I'm assuming, eventually jabs them to wake them up, anybody who has a computer or a telephone will be able to educate their child, doing absolutely nothing except poking the kid into a seat, wiring them up to the computer, and letting Common Core take them to their proper place in the collective. Why send them away from home when you can plug them in to an outlet in your own living room? Teachers recognize this, but they do not want the alternative of school choice. Oh, no, because that undermines their bargaining power as well. They want the status quo. They want failing schools. And it's not the teachers, ladies and gentlemen, who want this. It is their union leaders. In several states where union membership has been changed to be voluntary instead of mandatory, the teachers' unions have lost up to 25% to 30% of their membership. The vast majority of teachers don't give a rat's backside about their union. Yes, they like the idea of tenure. Who wouldn't? Work at a job for 5 years and you're set for life until you either drop dead or decide to retire, whether you're any good at what you do or not. But even those who think tenure is a right that they have earned aren't monsters who are only interested in collecting a paycheck and not bothering to teach anybody. Believe me, even with tenure and benefit packages and everything else, if you're stuck in a small room with 25 middle schoolers, 7.5 hours a day, 5 days a week for 9 straight months, you either have to be incredibly dedicated or totally insane to keep doing it long enough to get all those goodies when you retire. I'm glad to see my friend Bill in the chat room mentions that Indiana isn't playing along with the federal government's attack on charter schools and homeschooling. Go Indiana. Virginia isn't adopting Common Core either, because the people in those states, Indiana and Virginia, understand the long-term consequences of the one-size-fits-all plug-in education that will make our children cogs in the progressive collective wheel. They know that Common Core, instead of improving your child's education, will merely steer your child into whatever position in life the state deems he or she is fit for. Common Core has been touted as having more rigorous standards. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a flat-out lie. Common Core is steering the vast majority of children in school toward the belief that they are incapable of learning anything beyond bare subsistence level that will allow them to fit into a bureaucratic niche somewhere. The teachers' unions are beginning to understand that Common Core will eliminate the necessity for their existence, because they won't be teaching anymore. They won't have the big stick with which to threaten parents and administrators that, what are you going to do if we're not there? They spend a great deal of time vilifying anybody, any school system that brings in teachers who are not education majors from educational teaching colleges. They don't want people teaching in a classroom who actually know anything about the subject they're teaching, because the people who know something about the subject are very likely to reject the union's idea that, oh yes, we care about the children, when the only thing they're interested in is your dues and dumping it into more and more progressive candidates who will continue to. Common Core isn't going to give them the power that they now have. They're not at all interested in the fact that your children are being dumbed down. They, like most of us, are interested in their own welfare. And that is not an evil thing. It's part of being a human being. Every single human being on this earth, from its beginning, has cared first about themselves and second about other people. It doesn't make them bad or evil. It merely makes them human. I am far from sainthood, ladies and gentlemen, as are 99% of the population worldwide. I do want to take care of me and my family and my loved ones and my friends first before I take care of somebody 5,000 miles away from me about whom I know nothing and about whom I care almost nothing. But that doesn't mean that I am a wicked person. And it doesn't mean that they are either. It's merely an illustration of what is going on with this nation right now. That under the guise of caring about everyone is the same basic human desire for power. We all have it. I'm not interested in power over other people. I'm only interested in power over myself. I'm interested in enough personal power to make my own choices in life, to choose who I marry, whether or not I have children, where I live, the profession that I wish to pursue, the interests that I enjoy. Power, ladies and gentlemen, is addictive. And Common Core and the progressive idealists who are promoting it want your children addicted to the power of victimhood. Yes, being a victim is actually, in our current climate, quite powerful. Because our current leaders who are making the laws and decreeing what we shall do want you to believe that you are a victim and they are your savior. Your power lies in your weakness, because without your weakness and your desire to be taken care of, their power disappears. If a man is content with his life and feels that he has everything he needs, he's not as easily bribed by a goodie from government. Government, under progressive ideology, cannot allow you or your children to be content with your lot. Because if you are, you will be comfortable with things as they are. And you will not vote for them to make it better and change. And Common Core and its implementation is going to promote the idea that you are a victim and that you are incapable of surviving without government aid from cradle to grave, that you cannot make individual choices because there might be consequences you won't like, and somebody has to protect you from yourself. We have to, progressives know, that we have to keep you a victim. We have to keep you blaming everybody but yourself for failure, lack of success, discomfort, whatever it is that you don't like about your life. We have got to teach you that it's someone else's fault. My friend Bill has it in a nutshell, a very simple equation. Government aid equals government control. And that's what programs like Common Core that purport to give your child a free, appropriate public education, and anywhere you go in the country, he will learn exactly the same thing so he can compete globally, is just another means of tying the leash around your neck and making sure that that and the ring through your nose and the nice, tasty goodie that if you beg properly, the government will hand to you, keeps them in power. Our founding fathers believed, rightly, that the only way a people can govern themselves as a nation or a society is if they can govern themselves as individuals. They also believed that in order to govern oneself, one needs to be educated. And in their mind, an education was not a training program to take up a nice government bureaucratic job in a cubicle somewhere where you stamped papers all day and went home, sat down, and watched government television. The founding fathers believed that an education was an opportunity to broaden your world, to be exposed to ideas and cultures and history and languages and thought that otherwise you would not encounter. They lived in a much smaller world than we do, ladies and gentlemen, in many ways. For them to hear what was going on in England took months, because a letter had to come across the Atlantic Ocean in a sailing ship. To know what was going on, if you lived in Massachusetts, in the colony of South Carolina, took weeks. And the hope that whoever was assigned to carry it for you didn't get lost somewhere or too drunk and use it to light a pipe with. Yet, their world was larger than ours in many ways, because their world included ideas and thought and critical thinking and comparing different ways of doing and making individual judgments on what made sense and what didn't. And if you didn't know about something, it was your responsibility to go find out, probably by reading, not by text message, not by YouTube, and not by Facebook. Their world was small because communication was not global and instant. But the world of the mind for them was huge. And they understood that if we were to have the republic they gave us, we also had to encourage our children to broaden their minds, to have access to the world of ideas and thought and history and science and language, to have access to the tools that would make us lifelong learners and questioners of authority instead of complacent sheep or poor, miserable victims who needed to be hand-fed because we were too stupid to figure out which end of the spoon to use. Common Core, in its entirety, attempt to create a society composed of the elite and the victim. It penalizes individuality because it waters down education to the lowest common denominator, all the while telling everybody how rigorous its standards are and that it will fit our children to compete in a global economy. It won't. It will do exactly the opposite. It will train them to expect that everybody has the same progressive socialist ideology as they do, and if it looks like somebody doesn't, they are evil and dangerous and must be suppressed. They are a cancer, a virus, and we must surround them and kill them because otherwise our complacent victimhood will be shaken up and somebody will actually expect us to take responsibility for our own. I deal with middle school children, ladies and gentlemen, on a daily basis. And as I've said before, that makes me either certifiably insane or very dedicated. You can choose whichever one then seems likely to you. I'm dealing with an age group who are physically and chronologically on the same intellectual level as 95% of progressives. Progressive ideology and progressive thought, as it is given to the public, puts the group ahead of the individual. And that is what Common Core wants to do. It's the myth that one size fits all, that you can standardize thought and knowledge and the ability to learn if you just let government take over for you. Because government, in all its infinite divine wisdom, can use data to determine exactly what your place in society should be. Progressives do a lot of talking about class warfare and social justice and how we are evil and wicked because we believe in a free market economy which penalizes the poor and allows rapacious robbers to get rich off the sweat of the proletariat. It's recycled, but because they have done such a good job of creating a very large class of professional victims, they have a willing audience for this garbage. And they want to keep that audience because that audience can be moved from one place to another to vote their candidates into power and keep the complacent citizens complacent citizens. Progressives are not interested, in spite of what they say, in making the world better for everybody. They tell you they are, but they lie. What they are interested in is redesigning humanity so that everyone will be standing there waiting for the word from the progressives as to what to think next. I've been reading Glenn Beck's latest book, Conform. the truth about Common Core. And although a lot of what I'm reading is not new to me, it's very cogently presented. And the understanding of exactly why progressives want Common Core is very clear. Progressives do not want individuality. My friend Linda asked me, is it good? Yes, it is. It is well worth reading, and I would highly recommend it to anybody, because it shows you the links between all of the various progressive entities and debunks all of their arguments against such insidious, horrible individual things like charter schools or private schools or school choice or homeschooling or teachers who actually teach. Linda, you're right. Common Core doesn't want critical thinkers. That's why all that fuzzy math garbage they're putting out. You can't have critical thinkers and self-sufficient people and keep them contained and powerless. They're going to rise up and say, wait a minute, this isn't right. And there goes your power. The problem with a lot of the people who follow progressive ideology, and I'm not talking about the cynical users like George Soros and our current president. I'm talking about the sincerely kind people who believe the garbage these jerks spout. That somehow or other, if we just let government take over, everybody will have, you know, a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. I mean, they have been saying this over and over and over again. The promise that everybody is going to have exactly the same amount of stuff in everybody's house, to quote, God help us, Al Sharpton, is a myth. It isn't going to happen if you have to have people involved in it. My friend Linda says it's the same reason that they want common core and control is the same reason that in South Carolina it was illegal to teach a slave to read. You cannot keep a people subjugated if you do not keep them ignorant and afraid. It's simple, it's straightforward, it's obvious, which is why too many people don't want to believe it. They want a scientific explanation of why Susie is better at reading than Johnny, and a scientific solution to make Johnny equal Susie in his reading ability, or a scientific government solution to the fact that some people are stupid and some people aren't. I have known since I was about 14 that ignorance is curable, but stupidity is not. Progressives need stupidity. And in order to maintain it, they have to work toward ignorance as well. If all you are ever taught, remember this for the test, where does any thinking come in? They scream and holler and complain about the evils of the old school of memorizing dull, boring facts in math, like multiplication tables and addition and subtraction facts and formulas and all that stuff. I mean, that's boring. Nobody wants to learn that. So let's do it a different way. Let's imagine something. Let's get close, and if you can say why you got the answer even though it's wrong, that's okay, because that shows you're thinking critically. I beg your pardon? No, it doesn't. You can't think critically if you don't have anything to be critical of, if you don't have opposing viewpoints or more than one idea, how can you choose what is right? But you see, progressives don't want you to believe that there is any right in the sense of correct or morally upright or positive for all things. There's no right and wrong. There's only difference. And difference has to be, gee, isn't it wonderful that you like torturing cats? I'm so glad you can worship God in that way. They do not want real critical thinking. They don't want you to be able to think. They don't want your children to think. They want them to expect being given what they want. They want them trained. They want them told that what they are learning in public school is all they ever need to know for the rest of their lives. And they'll be happy and comfortable and have a job, and government will make sure they have a house, and government will make sure they have a car or public transportation, and government will relocate them to a nice village where everybody's friendly and helps each other out and raises each other's kids, only actually they won't be, because the school will become the community heart where everybody goes and the school raises your children for you so you don't have to. Parents, of course, in the minds of progressives, are incredibly dangerous people. They're stupid. They're uneducated. They're uninformed. They might be religious. Oh, my God, what a horrible thought. They might believe in a set of absolute ethical values. Again, very dangerous. You know, if you have ethical values, you are probably homophobic, racist, cruel, greedy, ready to shoot anybody who doesn't go to your church. You know, the whole bit. They don't want cream to rise. They want homogenized milk. Because homogenized milk never goes anywhere. It just sits there complacently, waiting for you to drink it and drain it and then throw away its container. Which is exactly how progressives view the common people, which means anybody who isn't a progressive elected official. Their byword is that because they have been elected to public office, they have been endowed with divine perception. Because they made it into Congress or the State House or the presidency or whatever, that is a mandate from God that they are obviously more capable of deciding what you should do than you are. Because if you were capable of making decisions, you wouldn't have elected them. Well, they're half right. The people who are incapable of making decisions are the ones who elect them. And there are many, many, many of those. Unfortunately, we've created a climate in this nation where it's considered to be socially questionable to think and impolite to express an opinion. Because if you ever express an opinion about anything, it's very likely that you're going to offend someone. And when someone's offended, they're not happy. And we can't have that. Everybody has to be happy, which means everybody has to be homogenized milk. They are the only cream, and they didn't get there by rising to the top from a bowl of milk. They got there by being created as cream in the first place. And that's the reason they're in charge. Hubris, ladies and gentlemen. And power. Well, as I said, tonight's topic, as the Common Core and the unions, teachers' unions are even rejecting it, should tell you something. Unions, no matter what union they are, whether it's teachers or steelworkers or anybody else, are in business to promote themselves. The rank and file don't have much say anymore. It's the union bosses with their six-figure salaries that guide the money And the money is what puts people in power. Money is power. It's one form of power. There are other forms of power, but they're not as obvious and they're not as easy. Courage is power. Honesty is power. Integrity is power. But none of those are easy. They require effort. And they require critical thinking. And they require learning. So many people reject them because it's a lot easier to just go along to get along. And it always strikes me as very amusing that progressives court those who have made a financial success by entrepreneurship to fund their, oh, we'll make it nice for everybody, but you'll still be on top. We'll just make it better for everybody underneath you. And people like Bill Gates buy it. It isn't a news story, ladies and gentlemen. We had the same thing during the so-called progressive era in history. The robber barons of the late 1800s and the early 1900s, the Andrew Carnegies and the Rockefellers and the rest of them, who made their money by being smarter and sometimes more devious and stronger and more willing to work their butts off. And then when they had their pile, turned to philanthropy, which they did. And yes, they exploited people. But anybody who employs someone under progressive ideology could be said to be exploiting them. I'm being exploited every day I go to work. In the sense that my talents and my skills are being used in a hierarchy in which I am not free to decide where or how I will use them. So you might say I'm being exploited. But I allow myself to be exploited in that sense because I believe that my talents and my skills are being utilized to benefit the children I teach. Because I am not babysitting them. And I am not telling them that everybody is the same. And I am not telling them that, oh, gee, you spelled cat P-L-W, but oh, isn't that pretty? Aren't you smart? Because even though, in a sense, I am being exploited, I am still being myself. And I am still presenting a model of what integrity is. My friend Bill says, keep the money, just leave me and my family alone. We'll tend to ourselves. That used to be the American credo. That used to be how Americans thought about things. Government, get the heck out of my business. I'll make my own way. If you just get out of the road, I'll get there. But people are buying into the ridiculous assumption that our current president made when he told entrepreneurs, business owners, successful ones, you didn't build that. Because in his progressive socialist ideology, there is no such thing as individual effort. There is only somebody who's lucky enough to persuade the government to give him money to go do something. Another reason why the progressives want Common Core is because it teaches that there is a limit to what you can learn or that you need to learn. I hear all the time from the kids that I teach the insidious and horrible phrase, well, I don't need to know that. It's not on the test. And if I were to explode someday, it will be the 567 millionth time I've heard that. You cannot create a functioning adult if you continually tell it before it reaches adulthood that there are things it doesn't need to know because it won't be on the test. Common Core tells children, you don't need to know this because it's not on the test. One of the things that I was struck by, and there are times when I feel like I'm channeling Glenn Beck, God love him, in his book. He was talking about the fact that Common Core and its standardized testing, which is inextricably linked to the Common Core curriculum, creates a teach to the test. Arne Duncan, that idiot, Secretary of Education, keeps saying, oh, this is state-led. You know, the states want this. The states are in charge of this. Common Core has never been mandated by the federal government. Yep, right. Common Core is a bribe, it is an inducement for states to get more federal money. If they adopted it before anybody had even put it together, they were guaranteed federal funds for their states and localities. If they didn't adopt it, they weren't told flat out, no, you're not going to get the money. Oh, no, no, no. Because that would have been wrong. That was the truth, but they didn't say it. And Common Core had nothing whatsoever to do with the states. It had everything to do with Bill Gates and the federal government. Our educational system, ladies and gentlemen, has never been constitutionally the business of the federal government. It is not a designated power of the federal government. It has never been. But thanks to Jimmy Carter and his pulling education out of welfare and education cabinet position and making it a separate entity, he created Frankenstein's monster because he too is a progressive. Government belongs in every aspect of your lives, ladies and gentlemen, because you are stupid. And without government guiding your choices or eliminating choices for you, you'll hurt yourself. You'll play with matches and get burned. You'll trip on the steps and fall down and hurt your little knee. Progressive ideology and thinking patterns presuppose that anyone who disagrees with them is incapable of rational thought. Because those who disagree with their worldview are obviously stupid, they are justified in nudging, pushing, and legislating us all under the benevolent control of government. Because any of us who disagree with them are obviously incredibly dumb, and there's no way we could make good decisions about even what we do tomorrow morning, let alone about our children. It's the Brave New World syndrome, or the Society of the Giver, or any of the other dystopian sci-fi fantasy novels you've ever read. Harrison Bergeron. Ordinary people, which means anybody who isn't a progressive elected official, can't possibly take care of themselves without government assistance. They'll just, you know, descend into the level of four-year-olds fighting over the last candy bar because they're not adults, still children. We're the adults. We're the ones who can guide you and protect you and make sure that you don't burn yourself with the nasty matches. And Common Core, in all its glory, is going to do that to your kids. It is going to tell them that they are incapable of being individuals. It is going to teach them, and I hate to use that word, or indoctrinate them, I suppose it's better, or condition them to believe all they have to do is get plugged into Common Core, literally and figuratively, and their future is assured because government will tell them exactly what they should do, where they should live, who they should marry, what they should eat, what they should wear, and every other decision that really takes thinking will be made for them so they can sit back, relax, and enjoy life. Because making decisions and failing and getting back up and trying again and working at anything, that's cruel and unusual punishment. That's wicked, evil, capitalistic, rapacious robber ideology. We can't allow you to be exploited that way. We will protect you from yourself. We'll protect you from those evil people who believe that a day's work deserves a day's pay. No, that's not right. Existence deserves a day's pay. After all, you didn't ask to be born, did you? So somebody owes you things. And too many people, ladies and gentlemen, believe it. Too many people want to believe it. And that's why progressives have the power that they do. They want victims. They want you to feel powerless because then you are powerless. And only when you are powerless will you voluntarily give up your human spirit and your individuality and let somebody else feed, clothe, educate, and wipe your butt for you. They want you as a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, an adult in relation to children. They want you to remain a child. So your children have no real adults to turn to. There was something that kind of struck me as interesting in Glenn's book, Conform. In the chapter about the absolute hatred that progressives have and teachers unions have for homeschoolers and the federal government has for homeschoolers. That, you know, constantly they're saying there's no proof that homeschooling is any better than public schools. As a matter of fact, children become afraid of other children and they can't exist in a social atmosphere, and they don't have any ability to mingle with society, and they're being possibly brainwashed into radical, far-right religious views and taught things. And this is because professional educators aren't being used, just dumb parents. We can't have that. These parents aren't trained to present material in the way that educators think children should receive it. They're incapable of teaching their children anything. Only a professional teacher can do that. A licensed professional with a degree from an educational institution that trains teachers. And it gave me the same shivers hearing that as our current president's latest initiative to focus on teacher training. As if they don't already. The assumption that so many teachers make, and I have seen and heard them. Not the majority, believe me, not the majority of teachers that I've worked with, but a small and rather powerful minority, truly believe that nobody can teach a child anything except them. That a parent is automatically uneducated because a parent hasn't been trained as a teacher in pedagogy, methodology, classroom planning, etc. It's that insidious belief that progressives have inoculated them with, that a license, a piece of paper from an quote-unquote accredited institution, accredited by government, by the way, proves that you are obviously better qualified to teach your children, teach children things than their parents are. My parents both graduated from high school. Neither of them had a college degree. So they obviously couldn't possibly have taught me anything. Well, I beg to differ. When I was in sixth grade, one of our assignments in English, because we used to do public speaking in those days, was to give a talk about something. And my choice was explaining the theory of flight. I know. My dad was an aeronautical engineer. I got the theory of flight and lift and drag coefficients with my baby food. But obviously he was too stupid and uneducated to teach me anything. My mother used to play a game, me and with my sisters, on a grammar game. She would say something using a grammatical error like, I don't know nothing. And we would correct her. No, Mommy, it's supposed to be I don't know anything. And she would reward us with a smile and say, very good. But, of course, she was uneducated and couldn't teach me anything. I did not learn how to speak, ladies and gentlemen, in school. I learned it from my mother and my father and my grandmother, who only had a sixth grade education. But, of course, they were incredibly stupid and couldn't possibly have taught me anything. I didn't learn anything at all until I was put into kindergarten. If you believe that, I've got a real nice piece of property in the Florida Everglades I can sell you. Insidious evil myth that parents are somehow or other incapable of doing anything with their children except producing them is permeating our public education system. And the sad part is it isn't the majority of teachers. They've got kids of their own. And their children aren't in their classes. And their children are not told, don't ask me questions, go sit over there and do what your teacher says. Their children are taught at home too. All of them are. All of our kids are taught at home. They may not be taught calculus or Greek, but they're taught manners and courtesy and how to speak clearly enough to be understood. They're taught a work ethic with chores or cleaning their room. They're taught how to button their own shirt. They're taught how to tie their shoes, which increases their manual dexterity. The absurdity of the assumption that if you go through 4 years of college in a education program, degree program, that somehow automatically makes you infinitely more qualified to teach children than their parents or their grandmother or their aunt or their uncle who may have knowledge you don't. But because you have this piece of paper that says you know how to teach, you're absolutely qualified to teach children everything they need to know. And parents can do absolutely nothing to educate their children. And there are parents out there, ladies and gentlemen, who believe this garbage. They believe in the mythical certified expertise. We are in love with the idea that somebody has a certificate of something. I won't send my child to that school because they don't have certified teachers. Well, do you know what being a certified teacher requires, ladies and gentlemen? A 4-year bachelor's degree in education and 3 months of classroom teaching practice under the supervision of a teacher. That makes you infinitely more qualified than somebody with a PhD in electronics to teach kids. And of course, under Common Core, it probably does. Because you don't really have to know anything. You just have to read the script correctly. I remember many years ago, when I was working as a private tutor, I had a student who attended public school. And I was tutoring that student in math. In high school math, Algebra 1. At the time, because the student could only get there on days when the young man who normally taught that was not there. So I took it on. She was learning and figuring stuff out because nobody had ever taught her pre-algebra. And I sympathized because nobody ever taught me that either. I had to learn it myself. But anyway, one day she came in for her tutoring hour in algebra, and she was almost in tears. She'd written a paper for English, and it was a good paper. And she'd gotten a D on it because the teacher said that she misspelled the word flies, as in the hawk flies or the flies are eating the garbage. The girl had spelled it F-L-I-E-S, which is correct. The teacher marked it wrong and refused to even look at a dictionary. To that teacher, flies was spelled F-L-Y-S. And, of course, that makes her infinitely more qualified to teach English than I was at the time because my degree was in Spanish, and I had not taken any holy education courses. I'm sorry. We've got to stop believing in the myth of certified teachers. There's an organization that Glenn mentions in his book, and I can't remember the full name of it, that is basically placing people in failing schools who are experts in the subject. They're not teachers. They don't have degrees in education. They have degrees in something like math or chemistry or English. And they are being incredibly effective. And the teachers' unions are fighting like crazy. Eliminate the possibility of that happening. They are bringing lawsuits. They are basically putting barriers in the way of these teachers, of these people actually benefiting the children in the classrooms. Because they're not certified teachers. No, but they are intelligent, knowledgeable people who care about children learning. But, oh, no, that doesn't make them a teacher. I mentioned on last week's show that I do not have a degree in education. I don't. And I'm not a certified teacher. I've never said that I was. I am a teacher in the sense that that's what I do for a living. I teach people things. But I cannot list that as my occupation because in today's world, being a teacher is not a profession. Being a teacher is a piece of paper that says you went to this school and majored in this and you were in a classroom for 3 months with another teacher. That makes you a teacher. as far back as the 1960s, ladies and gentlemen, when I was in college, there was a really strong movement to eliminate teaching degrees and require teachers in college to major in something other than education. And if they were interested in teaching as a profession, they would take certain education courses and practice teach, but their major would not be education. Their major would be math or English or history or science, so that they actually did know something to impart to the children in their classrooms. I was in favor of it because I knew how much I had learned from my own father, who didn't have a degree in anything. But he was one of the most intelligent people I have ever known in my life. And the funny thing is that you don't need a degree in education to teach in college. It's not required. You don't have to have any education courses to be a college professor. Get a job as a teaching assistant after you've gotten your bachelor's, work like the devil to get a master's, pray that you'll get a slot and get the holy tenure, and you can teach until you die in college. But you can't in high school or junior high school or middle school or any other level of education because you're not qualified. You're not certified. You're not properly vetted and trained. So you're incapable of teaching children. Because the current philosophy that ties right into Common Core is that you don't have to know anything, you just have to facilitate the children's learning with a scripted course government gives you. And do it in such a way with lots of bells and whistles, like videos and projects where you piece things together and role-playing and diaries and every other neat new educational tool, and keep them entertained and they'll obviously learn something. But only just enough. And they won't learn how to think because that's dangerous. They'll learn how to remember long enough to spit it back out on a test and then blithely go back to video games. Bread and circuses, in effect. Well, teachers' unions are very powerful, ladies and gentlemen. Unions of any sort are powerful. My friend Cal says that it's hard to learn from someone who's not have been a success in a field like business. Would you want to learn from a business billionaire or a teacher who only reads about business? And I agree with you. I'd rather learn from the billionaire. My major in college was Spanish, ladies and gentlemen. Not because I thought I was going to make money out of it or I was going to teach it, but because I thoroughly enjoyed languages. And I was good at it. And I didn't see college as vocational training. I saw it as expanding my horizons and my abilities and using my skills so that I had more choices of which path to take. And, oh, heaven forbid, but I was actually taught that incredibly radical philosophy by my own parents, that education is a doorway to more choices and more opportunities. And the more education you have, the more doorways potentially you may go through. And that's how and why I teach now. Because I believe that. If you're going to learn about math, shouldn't you have someone who really enjoys math and enjoys explaining it to people so they too can do it and take pleasure in doing it well? My friend Bill in the chat room says that his parents always, and his grandparents, pushed education as the key to success. And it is. The mission statement of the school that where I work includes the section that says, we are there to work with community and students and the families and so on to create lifelong learners. And that was something that was my contribution to the roundtable discussion of what the mission statement should say. And it got adopted. Because that's what education is. It is creating the mindset that says there's always something new to learn and I can learn it. Even more important now than it was during our founders' time, and they would have applauded that sentiment. They believed it too. We live in a world that changes overnight, ladies and gentlemen. Technology and science give us new things to learn every day. And Common Core will kill the impulse to learn them. It will create the mindset that I don't need to know that because it isn't on the test, is the way to succeed in life. And I will bet you any amount you want to name that you will not be able to find a successful person who ever said that to himself and believed it. We learn from everyone with whom we come in contact, as my friend Kel says. Not just academics, not just things from books, not just dates of battles or 7 times 5 equals 35 or the periodic table of elements or the Constitution was adopted in 1789. We learn how to love, how to care about one another, how to express ourselves, how to treat people decently in hopes that we will be treated decently by them. Every single one of us is a teacher every day that we live. By example, if not by precept. There was another aspect in Glenn's book when he was talking about the success of homeschooled children and some of the studies done by a non-governmental group, that children who are homeschooled have adults as role models, not their peers. And that's the way it's supposed to be. One of the downers about public education is that 90% of the time, parents seem to be having to reteach their children manners, courtesy, and ethics because they're picking up all the wrong skills from their peers. They have to reteach their kids how to be decent human beings and counter the kind of garbage that they get from the kids that go to school with. If that's social skills that they're learning in school, I don't want them. And I don't want them for my grandchildren. Adults are supposed to be children's role models, ladies and gentlemen. We are not supposed to be lifelong babysitters or need lifelong babysitters. We are supposed to model the kind of men and women we wish our children to become. It is not wrong or bad that a child looks up to a teacher. It's good. But a teacher cannot replace a mother or a father or a grandmother or a wise aunt or uncle or a granddaddy who teaches them about fishing and farming and to watch the sunset at the end of a long day. Teachers cannot replace parents, ladies and gentlemen, nor can government. And Common Core wants them to replace. Because if parents are out of the picture, then the only thing left is government institutions to train, educate, and indoctrinate your child. You are being regulated to baby makers, brood hens and roosters, stallions and mares, bulls and cows, producing children for the good of the community, like that idiot woman who talked about how your children aren't really yours. We need to change that. They belong to all of us. The heck they do. But progressives want you to believe that. My friend Cal says it's because the family is fractured. And so the education from the family will be gone. And that is perfectly correct. Any dictatorship, any totalitarian regime knows that you must break up the family unit in order to have power over the population. Even the Israelis, God love them, tried it with the creche system and the kibbutz. The communes of the 1960s, the children belonged to everybody and nobody. Government cannot teach your child how to love, ladies and gentlemen. And neither can a certified teacher vetted by, approved by, and supported by government. Simply because they are certified and vetted by and paid by government. Progressives talk a lot about compassion and kindness and the world is a mean place and we just love everybody and we want them all to be happy. But progressives do not understand what love is. Love is not homogenized milk. Love is cream. Love is not cottage cheese that is certified exactly the same in every single pub you buy. Love is one tree that struggles to survive and makes it, and another tree that struggles to survive and doesn't. But its seeds do, and five other trees grow from it. Love is Mama Kitty going into a flaming building to rescue her kittens. Love is being willing to forego a cookie so your child can have it. Love is working 12 hours a day so that your children can go to a school where they will be nurtured and taught, because it's the only way that you can provide for them the kind of education that you didn't get. Love is falling on a hand grenade to save the rest of your squad. Love is often sacrificed. Love is not indiscriminate cottage cheese or homogenized milk. It is highly individual, and it takes great courage to love. Because when you love, you have a hostage to fortune. When you allow yourself to love, you risk losing what you love. If your love is just words about how wonderful the human race is and we'll fix it, make it even better, you don't know what love is. It isn't government, ladies and gentlemen. It isn't common core, quote-unquote, rigorous standards that make everybody fit into the niche that the loving government says they belong in, whether they want to be there or not. My friend Cal says love is also sharing thoughts with the younger generation. And that's correct. We have to be the role models for our children and grandchildren and our nieces and our nephews and our younger cousins and the kids in the neighborhood. And love sometimes is tough love. It isn't love to give a child complete freedom when that child doesn't have the knowledge or the life experience to understand how to use it. It isn't love to put a four-year-old at the wheel of a tractor and say, go ahead and plow the North 40 because I love you. It isn't love to tell them that, you know, we're going to give you condoms the minute you turn 12 so you can choose to do with your body what you want to do. That's not love. It's stupidity. Part of the reason that we have had the kind of climate we have now, how part of the reason, not the only reason, but part of the reason it has become what it is that we no longer stay in the same place all our lives with family about us to 2 and 3 and 4 generations. We are a mobile people. We have always been a mobile people. If we were not, our country would still be just the original 13 colonies. If we weren't interested in, well, maybe it's better over the side of that hill, we would have remained a tiny little country clinging to the eastern coast of North America. We're always moving. We're always looking ahead. We're always trying to find a better thing than we have now somewhere else than where we are now. And that's not a bad thing, but it means that the wisdom of an extended family, one's own personal tribe, we miss that because now grandma and grandpa are either retired and in Florida and we see them at Christmas, or they're very, very old and in a nursing home and we see them at Christmas. And our kids don't even really know who they are, except that funny-looking old lady that I see every Christmas. It used to be that the older generation, the seniors as we're called now, were looked to for advice and counsel because they had life experiences that we had not yet had. And we used to look to our grandparents for the wisdom that life had given them, just in being able to survive to be 70 or 80 years old. But now, the prevailing thought is if grandma and grandpa aren't out water skiing in the Bahamas and look like they're 35, then we need to put them away quietly until they die and don't bother us anymore. Provision of Obamacare. We have taken the youth-oriented nature of a pioneer society with its strength and its desire for a better tomorrow and its hope that they can make one and turned it into a veneration of the young lifestyle in preference to a real life. People don't stay 35 until they die. People don't remain young and vital and beautiful up until the moment that God calls them to heaven in all their slender, well-dressed, socially active glory. My grandmother died when she was 69 years old of cancer. She lived with my parents and me and my sisters until my parents and I and my younger sister moved from northern Michigan to Massachusetts when I was in like sixth grade. And because she was ill and recovering from cancer treatment, which was way worse then than it is now, trust me, it would have been too difficult for her to pick up bag and baggage and move. So she went to live with my mother's sister and her husband. Before that, she was with my sister and me every day. And I got my love of poetry from her because she loved poetry. And she'd memorized yards and yards of it as a girl. But of course, she only had a sixth grade education, so she couldn't teach me anything, right? She'd lost a husband who left her with absolutely nothing, no insurance. She had to work long hours to support her two daughters, ages 15 and 10, when her husband died. And she put both of them through Catholic school, all the way through to get their high school diplomas. And I remember when I was very small, one of the biggest treats of my life was to take a bus downtown with Nana and walk around the department stores while she got greeting cards. And we'd stop and we'd look at the television. And, oh, they were so neat. And we'd talk to each other. And I'd talk to people on the bus, and Nana would sit there and grin and smile in pride at her granddaughter. From her, I learned unconditional love. And because I did, I was able to give that to my husband. And I firmly believe that the ability to give unconditional love and have it received and returned is why I was able to so luckily have him for 16 beautiful years. When initially, on the day we married, I thought I'd be lucky if I had him for one. But my grandmother was uneducated, so she couldn't possibly teach me anything. She was old and useless and sick. And one of the bravest women I have ever known. Because when she was down to 70 pounds and 2 weeks to make it to the bathroom by herself, she still had time to put her arms around me and let me cry if something bad had happened at school and to let me know that I was loved. But of course, she was uneducated and incapable of teaching me anything. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the story of Common Core. Your grandparents, your parents, your aunts, your uncles, they can't teach you anything. They just, you know, get in the way. You need us, government-certified, vetted, trained, and approved teachers, to make you comfortable in the, as my friend Linda says, new world order. That's why all of us need to stand up and say no to Common Core, because of the philosophy and the ideology behind it. It always sounds good when progressives want to take away more of your freedoms, because they promise you happiness and comfort in exchange. And people are gullible. They want to believe that somebody can give them happiness and comfort. They don't want to accept that happiness and comfort and success have to be earned. That you have to put something into life to get something out of it. Common Core and its ramifications teach the opposite to your children. Your children are being indoctrinated to believe that the best way to succeed is to take to heart and practice. I don't need to know that. It's not going to be on the test. How many of you out there listening have never been tested by life, who've never had a tragic moment, a sad loss, a failure, a heartache, a pain? I'm guessing if you're over 2 years old and listening, I don't think I can get anybody to say, me, me, me. If we teach our children that it is possible to have a perfect life, we lie. If we allow government to tell them it's possible for them to have a perfect life, we fail them. Because nobody has one. Nobody has a perfect life. And whenever you are gullible enough to believe that somebody in a position of authority or elected office can give you one, then unfortunately you deserve what you actually will get. And the bad part is you're going to drag the rest of us who know better along with you. And then, likely, you're going to blame us for the fact that far from getting a perfect life, you got a worse one than you had before. People are really, really good at willful ignorance. It's what makes us people. But what also makes us people is our individual human spirit. And it's that we need to call on, ladies and gentlemen, and that we need to model for our children. Not to turn them into right-wing, radical, gun-toting, let's shoot every liberal or let's hang everybody who disagrees with us, but moral and ethical people who relish difference, but who also understand that different can sometimes be evil and not just different. And give them the kind of an education that allows them to think critically enough to make a good judgment about when different is evil and when it's just different. I believe that we can do this. I believe we can turn things around. I believe that those of us who are paying attention are going to make the proper moves and speak to the proper people and choose the elected officials who will make the vision of the founders shine brightly again instead of covering it with revisionist history and gobbledygook that only makes you a victim. And I believe it isn't just us old folk who will do this. Because I see enough young folk who aren't stupid and who aren't gullible and who do question and who do have parents who teach them things and who enjoy learning them. I had a wonderful experience yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. And it was funny because it was both wonderful and incredibly frustrating at the same time. I was substituting in a seventh grade history class. And half of the class was out getting ice cream as a reward for making honor roll. So I only had half the class there. And I was going over notes that as a review for our state standards of learning tests, which are coming up this month, and talking about the conditions in the progressive era and why the progressives of the early 20th century were needed, because some degree of regulation of greed was absolutely necessary. And showing the children, by my words, that the men who were running things, the capitalists and so on, and the people who were letting them do it, were neither side was evil or bad. They just were products of their time and the knowledge of that time. And that it's foolish to look back and call people stupid for what they did 100 years ago, without understanding what they knew 100 years ago. So anyway, the kids came back from the ice cream social and the classroom went to hell in a handbasket and chaos reigned. And as the day approached the end and the kids had gone to their lockers, one of the boys that was there before the ice cream social said to me, "You know, Mrs. Rowland, I wish they hadn't acted like that when they got back because I learned some things I didn't know before and I was really enjoying them." So, like life always is, I got the sweet with the bitter. And if we remember, ladies and gentlemen, that's what being alive means, will be able to take the sweet, set the bitter aside, and truly work toward more sweet and less bitter for everybody, with an understanding that each of them must choose their own way. And all we can do is guide and hope and pray that we've done it right. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you are teachers. And you are valuable. And your opinions and your beliefs and your ethics and your morality matter. They may be different from mine. That's fine. They may be the same as mine. That's fine. But you have them. And may God bless you all. Well, it's about time to wrap up Patriot Education tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to my friends in the chat room, Cal and Linda and Bill and Yola, who was here earlier, and Iggy, and all of you. Thank you so much for being here. Your support and your interest and your kind words, they make my Thursday special, folks. I'll be back again next Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, for another episode of Patriot Education. And meanwhile, remember that you're a teacher, too. And the best way to teach is by being, not by saying. I'll see you next week. And as always, all my love to my greatest fan. Good night, everyone. Have a wonderful evening. And God bless.
90 seconds. Second.